This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 456 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on Skype, once again, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Not me.
Do you go by another name?
Well, not publicly.
Not, yeah. Not outside the confines of the bedroom.
I used to call the Claw.
I'm right.
Or sometimes known as Claude. Yeah, right. It was always a debate whether it was Claude or the Claw.
Right. Okay.
That was just high school.
Okay. Do we want to know?
Probably not.
Right.
Probably best not to, really. Okay. You know? Only the innocent can get hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
Excellent. How's your week been?
Yeah.
Like that.
And yours? Tell us about your conundrums at work. And has your offsider progressing? Is he along the path to recovery?
I have not heard a word other than he is on medication and part of the reason for his, you know, extended absence from work is because apparently it takes a little while for the body to get used to this medication. So,
you haven't been to visits, what you're saying?
No, I have not.
You haven't called?
No, I've.
You haven't texted?
Not in the last week.
You haven't emailed?
No.
You haven't Snapchatted?
No, I don't Snapchat.
You haven't face paged? You haven't.
Face page. I sent him a text last weekend and I didn't get a response to that. So I've decided, okay, maybe he just wants to disassociate from work for a while. So I thought, well, I'll just back off.
It could just be you.
It could just be me.
Or yes. It might not have got through, or it might have got through at a bad time and he forgot to be back to you and now he's going to feel bad.
Well,
when he listens to this podcast and goes, oh my goodness. Bruce doesn't care. Yeah. Maybe one of the side effects of the pills is really fat fingers, like water retention in the fingers, and maybe. He can't type.
Maybe.
So he can't, because, you know, if he tries to put down A and he gets ABD or whatever, you know. It just, yeah. That's going to be tricky. It's going to be for anyone with you know, water retained fingers to text. How would Andre the Giant text, if you remember Andre the Giant? He had very large hands.
Did he?
Giant.
I know he was tall, but I've not looked at his hands per se.
He was, well, the curtains match the drapes. I mean, you don't have a big, huge body, big, huge head, massive arms, and tiny hands. Well, you might. Unlikely. If you had small feet, you'd just topple over all the time.
That's right.
There's stuff like this.
Images of David Byrne from Talking Heads.
Exactly. Stuff keeps me awake. Or if I'm asleep, it wakes me up.
It's just, right.
Because I had the worst nightmare in the world a couple of nights ago.
Right.
And I knew, I woke up at like 4 o'clock in the morning from it. I knew if I went back to sleep, I would go straight back into it. You
were dreaming that you had to shoot Sony, weren't you?
Talk about it. But yeah, it's just you know, when you know that if you go back to sleep, you're going to fall straight back into it. It's like, oh. So I didn't.
Right.
Yeah, so your week's been okay? You've been handling the extra load of you being the soul?
It's been freaking hectic. Really has. And the boss rang me on, I think it was Tuesday, and he said, hey, how are you going? And I just thought, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I just said, mate, I'm sinking. And so
wasn't he supposed to be coming in and helping out?
Well, that's what he did then. You know, he then came down from the mountains the following day and has stayed for the rest of the week. I don't know what the story is. I don't know if he's going to, you know, come back out of retirement for a second time and hold the fort until Brad's back on his feet, or if they're going to bring in another freelancer or what.
I'll come up and do it.
I was going to say, you're looking for a career change. You should become an audio engineer.
It's not that hard. You put a microphone in front of someone and press record.
That's right. That's all there is to it.
And if they fluff the line, she say, "No, just I'll just erase that. Just do that again."
That's it. There's nothing more to it than that.
Well, it's like the podcast here. I just talk, and then it's out there in the world.
That's right.
That's all it takes.
That's it.
I could do this. Is there any jobs going in Melbourne?
Not that I'm
aware
of.
Can I do it by remote? Can I press the button and say you're based in the Sydney studio?
Mate, they won't even let me work from home from Gosford, so.
So I can't, like, phone it and say, can you just lean forward and press that record button?
No, not quite.
What, they can't lean forward? Is there a glass window or something?
Yes.
Can they hit record, then walk into the studio and start talking?
They could.
There you go. And it's like a long intro.
A very long intro.
Do you know, was it Michael Jackson's Thriller? Which one opens up with the door? Was it closed with the...
Yeah, that's the actual track, Thriller. Yeah.
There you go. So it could be like the audio book, the same intro, the door opens. Boom, 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 boom. Little Red Riding Hood was. See?
There you go.
That would work.
Totally.
Maybe I could be a voice artist as well. I could do it all.
There you
Send
go.
Send me the books. I'll read them into my headphones, my iPhone headphones here, microphone, fantastic. And over Skype to you.
Fantastic.
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
Do they get to make funny accents? Do they do like accents?
They do. The narrators are expected to be able to handle any accents that are included in the book.
Any accents? So surely
that's included in the book. Yeah.
Listen, if it was like Rajasthanian or something, mm-hmm. I mean, you'd have to take some time to study that at least, or get an Indian person into it.
When you say take some time, you mean 30 seconds of YouTube to get an idea of how the accent sounds, and then
that's right.
Yep. Replicate it. Yeah, pretty much.
I was watching an episode of Ripping Yarns this evening with my two girls.
Yeah.
The testing of Eric Olthwaite. And that's set in Northern Yorkshire, which is where I'm from. And right. I was trying to teach the children how to speak the language.
Right.
And this is a 30-minute episode, not just 30 seconds. They still struggled by the end of it. What kind of silly children do I have? I'm not going to make anything of themselves if they keep this sort of attitude up.
That's right.
Graceful.
Anyway, so how's your week been?
So I posted on Facebook the other day.
Yeah.
I'm going to read it out to you.
Okay.
Because this is the conundrum I faced this weekend.
Right.
Oh, I thought I'd share it. And knowing the sensitivity of our listeners, and that they'd be simpatico with me.
Right.
Should I start?
Go for it.
Not now. Okay. So the post was, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm starting now, okay?
Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. It's 4:05 a.m. You need to go shoot some images, but you have choices to make.
I'm sorry, but there is no but in your text.
Shh. There is now. I'm adding some gravitas to it. Come on.
This is not a verbatim reading of what was posted to Facebook, people.
See, this is why I should be allowed to do these audiobooks, because look at the colour I add to it. The drama.
The word but passes for colour, people.
Oh, absolutely. we better start this again.
Oh, definitely.
It was cold and moonless nights, it wasn't me. I said to myself, it's 4:05 a.m. in the morning, as opposed to 4:05 p.m. in the afternoon, which is a different time altogether than the other one. Second to accents?
Yeah.
That was my register. That was my register. I'm seeing a career change here already.
Totally.
Check out. Okay. So it's 4:05 a.m. You need to go shoot some images, but see, not only, there's not only saying but, it's the pause afterwards.
Right.
It builds the tension.
Right. Yeah. So where was the ellipsis in the text?
No, there was no eclipse. It was 4:05 in the morning.
No,
it was,
ellipse. It was not eclipse, ellipse.
Oh, there was a moon. Eclipse of the moon. No, that's this month. It's 4:05 a.m. You need to go shoot some images. You have choices to make. So I took the butt out that time.
I saw that.
Did you saw it or did you hear it?
I heard it.
Because I was worried for a second there. You have choices to make. See, now what I'm doing, I'm not going back to the beginning. I'm sort of in the last. You have choices to make. Weather forecast says 30 to 40% chance of rain for the next 4 hours. If you go out and shoot, you know that percentage will change to 110%. If you stay in bed, you know it will drop to 0% and the sunrise will be epic. I went out. I got wet. There you are. That was pretty much my week. Yep.
That's pretty much guaranteed for a landscape shooter, though.
Exactly. This is like, do this stuff. So the accompanying photo to that text was a photo of some yachts.
Yep.
Sails down just at port, at anchor, at the boat ramp, at the pier. Mm-hmm. They were stationary
in the marina, even.
Except they were bobbing up and down on the water. Right. But they weren't stationary. They weren't the actual real things. They weren't just on a bit of paper. Anyway, I digress. So I took a photograph with my phone of these things. It said, it's starting to clear now. And someone put up there, sharp as a tack, great shot. So now I'm thinking, and I posted, is that a yachting pun? Because, you know, that's what you tack with a yacht to change direction. He says he's no yachting type, so no pun intended. I don't think he even got my joke to his joke. I had that get up and the get out, and it got rained and it got pain in the bum.
Yeah,
but it's one of those weeks again where it's been either boiling hot, or we had hail 6 times in one day.
Wow,
it's just been the craziest of weather again down here. It's just unpredictable to the extreme. Took my kids out for a walk down a similar area to where the yachts were taken on the weekend, and it was like 8 degrees and howling wind, and they're dressed up like it's the middle of winter. It's just nuts.
Right.
And then you guys up in New South Wales, you've been having all sorts of hellfire, literally.
Yep. I was funny that you should mention that because
– not funny.
No, serious. It's not funny. But on the dark table, on the dark table unofficial group, one of a fairly new member of the group posted 15 hours ago, "Hope Bruce Williams is all right down under and not badly affected by the fires," which I thought was lovely. And I replied and I said, "Thanks, guys. Much appreciated. In the last week, New South Wales has lost more land and homes to bushfires than what was lost in all of last summer." I wrote more, but it's just been crazy up here. And I think Queensland's copping it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got friends with photos of their backyard with 100-foot flames half a kilometre away. It's pretty full on. It's
been very intense.
It's just how bizarre. I mean, there's areas touching 40 degrees.
Yeah.
And we're freezing our butts off down here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, it's I did another Facebook page post today. This is all about me, isn't it? But somebody put up a silly thing about climate change, and it was a bit of a daft thing, comment. And it was a daft link. And it was one of those, what is dodgy? I think a certain president will call it fake news websites. I mean, it might have been one of his.
Right.
So I had to quote, and I said, "Is this? Imagine." I'll do some dramatic reading again here, Bruce.
Right.
Is it just to take this as an audition?
Yep.
Cut out the good bits. Send them to your boss. Good stuff.
Yeah. Excellent.
Imagine if climate change was fake. In a world
by fear.
Obsessed by the human mind. What? Imagine if climate change was fake.
Yeah.
And we went and cleaned up the world. Saved thousands of species from destruction, saved forests, made water clean, and reduced our negative impact on the planet. What a total waste that would be. We'd have a cleaner, better world for nothing.
Yep.
I just don't understand the climate debate.
Yeah.
Just Who cares if one side's right and the other side's wrong? And it doesn't matter which one that is.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with cleaning shit up.
Yeah. Just yep.
Pick up your crap.
Just, yeah.
It doesn't hurt to make the place better.
Yeah.
You know? It's and what's the worst that can happen? We have a nicer place to live.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't understand. My father-in-law's a climate denier. Not right. Climate, he acknowledges that a climate exists.
Yes.
But he's a climate change denier.
Right.
And I've got no, I'm, to me, common sense says we have impact.
Yes.
Whether, who knows what level, but you can't not have impact. And
yeah,
you
know, exactly.
You go to the depth of the ocean and take a sample of water, and in that water, the depth, the deepest depths of the water is microplastics.
Yeah.
In the water, stuff that you can't even be seen, but it's in the water. I mean, we have impact now, yep. How much that affects whatever, who cares? But if we clean stuff up,
yeah.
Well, that's not a bad thing. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Ship it all out to space. Just blast it all out in space.
Well,
no.
Is that really fixing the problem, or is that just shifting the problem to some other location?
Do you know why they call it space, Bruce?
Because there's a lot of empty space, but it doesn't change the fact that you're just taking your shit and dumping it elsewhere.
Yeah, but you can't see it.
That's not the point, Glenn.
Schrodinger's rubbish.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I'm glad you agree. Well, it's been a good episode, mate. Thanks for sharing. Talk to you next week, I guess. Just as I leave photography, we start just we'll turn the podcast into something else. We'll just
right.
Yeah, we'll just turn it to called crap giggle.
Right. Or,
yeah. Glenn venting.
Yeah.
Good work.
On the impending eve of your departure,
demise, yes.
Rob Coates wrote you a limerick.
Did he?
He did.
Is it a haiku?
No, it's a limerick.
Bless you very much.
What? Jesus.
No, I'm not Jesus, dude. I'm just a very smart man.
Glenn hinted he's ready to exit on the day Britain's going to Brexit. If he really is gone on March 31, we'll remember it always as Glexit.
Now, that's awesome. That makes me want to quit. You can't. Let art like that be ruined.
Go to waste.
Exactly.
But here's the thing. There you go, Rob. If he follows through with it, it's all your fault.
But here's the thing, though. One thing we know for sure. One thing we can guarantee.
Yeah.
Britain's not going to be Brexiting.
No, that's right.
I did say, I'm not sure if I mentioned this last week, but I did see a great little meme this week of two people arm in arm watching TV, and it's like, great news, Brexit's been announced for a second season.
Yes.
That's lovely, Rob, thank you.
Yeah.
I must have said a really challenging date that doesn't rhyme easily, you know.
That was good. What do you got on your list?
Me?
Yeah.
Not much. Oh, well, actually, no, I've got a little something. You know how we talked last week about Canon's diabolical financial state?
for about the 90th time, yeah.
Yeah, but then this week, huge rumours that in 8 months' time, Olympus closed down the camera business.
What?
8 months' time, Olympus are closing their camera business.
So where did you come across this?
It's everywhere.
Yeah, right.
On the interwebs, which means it's true because everything on the interweb is. But for one example, Tech Radar, they're doing their own take on it. Olympus rumoured to shutter its camera business. Here's why we think it won't. But right. We ignored it at first, but the rumours about Olympus closing down its imaging division within the next 8 months are picking up momentum, even though there are a few actual facts, let alone any kind of official statement, to back them up.
Yeah,
so that's interesting though that there is a lot of gossip about that. So
the thing that bothers me about the internet is that someone can deliberately and maliciously start a rumor like that, and everyone feeds off it, and it gains momentum just because everyone's talking about it. even though facts.
That's the whole point of the internet. What are you talking about? Yeah. If you have your way, the internet would shut down.
Yes, it would. That's right. If I had my way.
And then who's going to listen to your bloody audiobooks then?
That's right. Everyone, because there'll be internet. They'll be listening to audiobooks instead.
How are they going to access them? CDs?
Yes.
Speaking of CDs, I bought a turntable this week.
Oh, nice. Was it a Technics?
No.
Oh.
And a radio tuner.
Nice.
And a preamp.
Yeah.
CD player.
Second hand.
Couple of speakers. $40 the lot.
Nice. What brand?
Sony CD player.
Right.
AWA for the rest.
Right. Okay. Cool.
But, you know, it's $40. And so here's the shock that
it's an old component system, obviously.
Yeah, it's an old component system.
Nice.
And the shock for the kids to sit there and tune a radio dial and finally understand, like, what does 101.1 mean? Why is it 101? This is their first thing. They're 12 years old to experience. They're like, oh, my God, this is
yeah, right.
You know? And to sit down and actually play a CD.
So back up a sec. The radio tuner, is it an old analog dial or does it show a digital readout?
That's an analog dial.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's 80s all the way, though.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and you can turn the dial and it doesn't hold on channel very well. It's perfect. Yeah, it's all the stuff we remember. Yeah. $40.
Awesome.
So I haven't got any records to play.
Did it come with speakers?
Two speakers.
Yep, cool, sweet.
I gave all my records away.
Ah. So
I've got no play.
Adam will lend you some.
So I hit
not our Adam, but your Adam.
Yeah, so I hit the op shops.
Nice.
My goodness, that Kamal, he's got a few albums out, hasn't he?
He's got a few.
I tell you, but I tell you what, I did feel. I went to like 20 op shops, didn't buy a single record.
Right.
But there must have been half a dozen Kamal albums in every single one, except one.
Except one shop.
Didn't have any Kamal. So I went back to one of the other ones, bought some Kamal records and donated them.
To the
op shop that didn't have any Kamal. I mean, they call themselves an op shop, dude. You know? Yeah, but the program people.
Where's the opportunity if there's no Kamal records?
So I righted it wrong this week. So that's one awesome. Positive.
Do you know, on a related note, I saw on my feed of, you know, news and tech stuff today that the Technics brand is actually about to relaunch in Australia.
Really?
Yes, and they are bringing out a new version of their, you know, famous and, you know, much lauded SP1200 series turntable, which is what all the DJs use.
Really?
Yeah. Like, there's such a comeback in that stuff. Yeah, so that's cool.
Well, our main electrical store in Australia, a company called JB Hi-Fi, one of the areas of that gave them extra profit this year is back to selling vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's such a change, but it's... Oh, it's gone. I had this great, probably boring as all get out. This something that related to something else that it's gone. No, that's right. Kodak.
Yeah.
Kodak this year
is going to start releasing vinyl.
No, they only lost $5 million this year.
Is that all?
Yeah, and a turnover of $315 million. They only lost $5 million, which for them, some sort of record. That's probably about the least they've lost in about 20 years.
That almost counts as a profit.
But exactly. But that they had a 21% increase in film sales
over the year.
So yeah, this is the same kind of thing. Yeah. So if Kodak,
it's pretty low base to come off. So a 21% increase probably not all that significant, but it's still good.
Yeah. it's a direction you'd rather be going.
Absolutely.
Not like Olympus, Canon, and dare I say it, Nikon.
Yeah, right.
So now, remember we said last week, so we talked about Canon, and now we're saying that Olympus is looking at the rumour is, well, Nikon have actually come out and says its cameras need to justify their existence as a business to stay going.
Wow.
After a diabolical plummet in their latest financial results.
Wow.
So, that's interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. The thing is, for all this doom and gloom, I just don't think cell phone photography is coming along fast enough to signal a death knell for SLR/mirrorless camera bodies just yet. I mean, there are amazing leaps and bounds happening every day. I mean, we've seen stuff with the iPhone 11 and, what Google's doing with the Pixel and, computational photography and all that sort of stuff. But there's just so much more that you get out of a, interchangeable lens camera, whether it's SLR or mirrorless, that you just don't get from a phone yet. And maybe it'll get there.
I think you're thinking the wrong way.
Okay.
You've got to ask, who's not buying?
Who's not buying?
Who's not buying? So, okay, if the market shrunk this much, who's not buying? And why are those people not buying?
All the people who were very average photographers who, weren't making a living from it. They're the ones not buying.
Not even them.
Okay.
The people who aren't buying the cameras are the people who bought an SLR because it was better than the point-and-shoot ones to take to family gatherings three times a year and maybe on the vacation once a year.
Yeah.
All the people who bought the entry-level Canon, Nikon film cameras, the Pentax P30s, all the entry-level film cameras that sold to mum and dad photographers, people who weren't interested in photography at all. They're not photographers. They're not interested in photography. They wanted to take photos.
Yeah.
And so they were taking pictures, not photographs, and they don't buy SLRs anymore. They don't buy cameras at all anymore because they've nagged it all the time. They don't see the difference.
Yeah.
So it's not the amateur photographers. It's not the pro photographers. It's not the keen photographers. It's the non-photographers who no longer buy the product.
Yeah.
And that's the impact. That's a huge percentage of all camera sales. Oh, I reckon back when I used to sell cameras back in the camera world, back in the days of film, you would have sold 15 or 20 entry levels to every one mid to high level SLR.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that higher ratio.
And the 15 to 20 were to non-photographers.
Yeah, right.
There were people who just wanted to buy this camera because it was going to take better photos and had no intention to ever learn how to use it and no intention to want to know anything. As soon as program was invented, as soon as press the button does everything for you was invented, people started buying the cameras. And they press the button.
Yeah.
But those people don't need to anymore because they can do that with their phone and get the same kind of results they've always had.
What they think is the same kind of result.
Yeah, exactly. But they're not looking at bokeh and they're not talking about bloody massive zoom lenses. These people would live with the 35 to 70 on the camera forever and be happy with it. You know? And it's only the guy who got a bit more into photography who might then go out and bought a 70 to 210.
Yeah,
he might have bought a 28mm lens prime by itself, at some point. But that was the more keen amateur. So it's the mum and dad photographer who had left compact cameras alone for years. That just died in the bumski.
Yep.
But the bottom of all the SLRs, that's all gone as well because the people who take the camera out three times a year now take it out 20 times a year. It's the phone.
Yeah.
And so that's it, yeah. They're saying that Nikon was saying that their imaging profits had fallen to 1/6 of its peak from back in 2012.
Yikes.
So that's a, and it overestimated how much its new Z series lines of full-frame mirrorless would brighten its prospects, which is to be expected. I mean, and even though our mate Mike Holman says that's one of the best cameras he's ever used and they're phenomenal, who's buying them?
Yeah.
Yeah, the people who the bottom end aren't buying them. So let's have a look at what this says here. They've dropping its predicted revenue for the imaging business from 260 billion yen to 235 billion, a drop of nearly 10%.
That's not a massive drop. I thought it'd be taking a much bigger hit than that.
And lowering the operating profit from 12 billion to a loss of 10 billion. So from a profit of $110 billion to a loss of $92 million. Sorry, not 110 million down to loss of 92 million. That's a $200 million turnaround, basically.
Yeah.
And when you're losing 92 million, That's not good, is it?
No. Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, so that's so Nikon. Yeah, watch this space as well. We we talked about this last week. I said, yeah, who's going to be left, and how many cameras will they have in their range? Three. Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows?
And the problem is, this is the problem with these companies is they got so big when they never used to be.
Right.
Like in the '80s, I mean, Canon, Olympus, and Nikon, they were big, but they weren't big. They weren't mega corporations.
No.
They were, a bespoke imaging industry was not that big. The imaging industry itself wasn't big. You know, it wasn't a car industry or another industry that earns lots of money.
Well,
I can't think of one.
I don't know. But they were. I kind of think they were in a way because it was the only game in town.
Small percentage of people who bought them. The percentage of people buying the product was small. Then digital came, and there was a boom. I'll go even further back than that. 35mm compact autofocus boom.
Right.
35mm SLR autofocus. When autofocus came in.
Oh, it was a game
changer.
There
was a boom. A boom in camera sales. And the people who started buying them were the mum and dad non-photographers.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden cameras weren't as tricky to use. They could aim, press the button, and all the focus stuff would be done for them. You didn't have to worry about it. So there was a shift then. They got bigger. Then digital came out and got to a decent quality and became cheap, and there was a massive growth. And these companies became really big. They've never, ever sold so much dollars worth of gear.
Yeah.
And then that business. So they're shrinking back to the size of companies they were back in the film days.
Yeah.
But the problem is the expectation of what the company is now and the dollars to research and develop and is so much higher than it used to be that it's not viable.
Well, maybe what we're seeing is a whole raft of Kodaks all happening at once, you know, where they didn't shift with the changing landscape.
I see a day where Canon and Nikon merge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
And I think Canon, they can keep half their name, and Nikon can keep half their name. Canon keep their CAN.
Oh, right.
And Nikon can keep their ON.
Right. Nice.
It's better than CanCon. That's it. or Nikon. Sounds quite frankly, very stupid. Does Olympus and Nikon merge? Yeah.
Nikon and Olympus, really?
Well, maybe, you know. Look at, well, Pentax and Ricoh merged.
Yeah.
Minolta and Sony effectively merged.
Well, Konica and Minolta merged.
Konica and Minolta, and then Sony.
And then got bought out by Sony.
Yeah. Yep. So you can see they developed. So the Ricoh Pentax.
Yep.
So, you know, lots to say. CanCon.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't think the two bigger players would merge. You'd think it'd have to be a bigger and a smaller.
Yeah.
Canon Olympus, a Canon Pentax.
Yeah,
or Nikon Pentax, something like that, kind of, rather dying altogether. Because they've all got some sort of proprietary technology that the others would probably kind of like to have, I'd imagine.
Right.
And well, so,
that's what drove Sony's purchase of Konica Minolta, was the fact that up until that point, Sony was only doing compacts. They had no SLR technology.
Yeah. So it kind of makes sense that maybe there's enough of a patent ownership from what company is worthwhile buying the company for or merging the company for.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's Nikon and Olympus gone. Like Canon last week, so down to Sony Fuji.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah.
And you've been watching some YouTube.
No, have I? No, yes, I have.
Yes.
I did. Only because, I'm feeling miserable.
Right.
And, and as I said, I hate, we hate this podcast thing where people keep sending in photographers who are better than us and it makes us feel bad, so I want to do some revenge. Right. So I watched photographer fail compilation of photographers falling over, getting hit by things, getting attacked by people,
Of course.
Attacking other people. It's just 11 minutes 47 of goodness. I was only up to about 5 minutes worth in. Right. So I've still got, the podcast, I've got 6 minutes of joy still to watch. But still what I've seen had. Was what I've seen was quite good, especially this one priest going off at a wedding photographer who he's standing behind the priest shooting over his shoulder. Oh. And he turns around and he's telling him, get off, get away. And then he goes, do you want us to leave? He goes, this is not a photographer shoot. This is a. And he goes, we'll stop the ceremony if that's what. You already have, dude. How about you be professional too and turn around and talk, do your job, and let these people who, the bride and groom who are working for you, dude, have paid these people to do these photos. So, and frankly, that's the priest's fault in the first place. And this is outdoors in the park, I'm going to say anyway.
It wasn't inside a church.
In the park.
Oh, what?
But it's definitely the priest and the photographer got to meet beforehand.
Absolutely.
And say, the photographer says, what are my rules?
Manage expectations.
Get that done. Get it. Know what you can do and what you can't do.
Totally.
Yeah. No leaning on the cross to take the photo. No straddling the cross to get that kind of drone viewpoint. Yeah. Those things make them cross. They make those priests quite cross. Leaning on the cross.
That's right.
Anyway, that's my crap for the week. What's on your list of things besides that lovely haiku?
Right. So that would be a limerick, Glenn.
What's an old man from Nantucket? Is that the one?
That's the one. Both Adam and Rakesh sent us a YouTube video.
Let's talk about Rakesh because Adam gets enough. Let's not even mention Adam.
Okay. So Rakesh sent us a video.
Say the name Adam.
Sent us a link to a video of a photographer who is a scuba diver. She's an oceanographer. And she's developed this algorithm which allows her to remove the water from underwater photographs. And when I saw the heading, I'm thinking, whatever. But it's really well worth watching the video. It only goes for about 4 minutes.
And this is where you're wrong.
How am I wrong?
Well, my article.
Yeah.
Mine's an article, not a 4 minute video for those lightweight Rakesh and Buddy Adam. I know what kind of nerd you are.
Right.
So I got you the full thesis on the whole system for you. So a method for removing water from underwater images, see-through, by Dera Akanyak. It's called Akanyak Principle or something. Mm-hmm. And this thing goes on for pages and pages. There's mathematical formulas. There's comparison rates. Mate, you're going to love this stuff. Yeah, they're talking about backscatter estimations, attenuation coefficient estimations.
Nice.
Scene reconstruction, imaging and range map generation. I've got it all there for you. Not just your 4 minute video.
Fantastic.
This is your full on nerd fest. for you.
So just to summarize the 4 minute video, basically what she does is she takes a Passport Color Checker Pro type, what do you call those things? One of those things. And she sits it by the coral. And then she swims away, she says, to about 15 meters. And then then she points the camera back at the Passport Color Checker Pro thing. And she slowly swims towards the reef and she keeps on taking photographs as she's getting closer and closer to the passport.
Won't the fish have moved away by then?
It's not about the fish, Glenn.
Oh.
She's not fishing.
Okay. So, she's just doing it for the hell of it. Is that
that's
right?
It. Boom, boom. And then so afterwards, she's able to go and import all the raw images into her laptop and then running this algorithm based on the distance of different images from the color passport thingamajiggy. She's able to calculate how much haze there is at different distances. And then this algorithm, using all of this complicated maths that's in the PDF that Glenn's linked us to, basically removes all the haze from the water so that you end up with true color images of the marine life.
Really boring subject.
Yeah.
She's taken some really boring photos.
She has, but to some people, that's really interesting.
So if you want to do this on a shark, would you have to stick the thing, this color checker to the shark?
Quite possibly.
Or do you swim? So you'd have to have it like on a really long selfie stick.
Very long.
Stuck to your head. You know, like a pole coming out of your head, dangling it down.
Right.
No, that wouldn't work either because it stays the same distance as you get. Yeah, so possibly not. Work, not. That's not going to work, Bruce.
Possibly
you,
not.
You'll have to have an underwater drone that swims ahead of you, holding it as you swim as fast as you can to catch up to the shark.
Because that's how it works.
Because if you could do that, then it would look like the shark was floating in midair.
Yeah.
It'd be like Sharknado.
That's right. I love that.
I'm not sure she thought this through.
Maybe not.
And if I was going to go to all the effort of this dissertation,
looking at that 10-page PDF, I tend to agree. She has not thought it through.
She's got two full pages of references there. You know, she could have maybe taken more interesting photos to garner people's interest a bit stronger.
Right.
Yes. Anyway. Steve, maybe it's a scientific thing more than an art thing.
Maybe that's what it is, mate. Steve Peters sent us a couple of stories. The first one is designer builds fully functional Hasselblad camera entirely from Lego. And, yeah, I don't know that it's entirely from Lego because I don't think the lens elements are from Lego. Well, but
I'm thinking the film's not from Lego.
Or the film. But this is a fully functioning Hasselblad film camera made from 1,122 pieces of Lego. And for our American audience, the plural of Lego is Lego. Just wanted to say that. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's not Lego.
No. No.
Do you know, my quite silly children of watching this stupid YouTube videos of this stupid sister and brother
right
on YouTube. I reckon she's maybe 12, he's maybe 9.
Okay.
Where they do stupid stuff like Lego and slime and stuff.
Right.
But each of their videos has like 25 million views.
That's depressing.
To the point they're making so much money from it.
Yeah,
that they do stupid videos like they put up a map up on the wall with all these different companies on there, and they'll throw darts at it, and whichever one lands on, go and buy stuff from there, like Apple Store, Gucci. This is like a 12-year-old girl going to Gucci to buy handbags.
Jeez,
with her own money.
Yeah, right.
Tell you what, Bruce, don't worry about putting in my my audition.
Okay,
you know, I'll start doing Legos on YouTube.
Right.
I wonder if there's a market for cranky old man Lego videos. I can't put this bloody stuff together. My eyes can't read that little writing. Where's that little bit gone? Yeah. There's got to be a market for that, surely. I was going to have a YouTube video rant of the day, and I was going to have like a mask on so no one could see who it was. I was just going to go to town and stuff every single day.
Right.
You know, I reckon I could do that for a living.
I'm sure you could.
You know, I've got enough rage built up here to last a couple of years to get a few episodes out.
Whatever happened to the prospecting?
I was still trying to do that. Just haven't had much time. I've been kind of busy the last couple of months.
Oh, okay.
So, still there. Still want to. I was hoping to get out this week. Still watching my YouTube videos. You know.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. But
okay. Yeah. The next one from Steve Peters is the Jungi Grant.
No, young guy.
Young guy?
Yeah, okay. He's a young guy.
Right, okay.
Well, I'll say, if it's mushrooms, it's fun guy, which is why they're great to take to parties.
Right.
Because they're such fun guys.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming if it's spelled the same way but with a Y, it's going to be young guy.
Okay.
As long as it's not cream of, we're okay.
Y-U-N-G-H-I. In this season of Thanksgiving, the young guy Grant gifts $15,000 to members of the Facebook group Photojournalists Cooperative in recognition of the values and principles all of us. Oh, I've got on board already. Anyway, there's some lovely pictures there.
It is a Steve Peters.
But there's some lovely photos there, and given your penchant for people photos, I thought you would have enjoyed those.
Well, I'm doing a talk this this Saturday on in Craigieburn, which is
okay
in Victoria.
Yeah,
and on and I was redoing my presentation today, and I had to put out a whole bunch of stuff up on Tanzania, and I'm putting up, you know, all these photos of people. So, you know, there's not just animals in Africa; you can even photograph people too.
Right.
So I didn't put any animal photos up. I thought that would just, you know, confuse people.
Fair
there's
enough.
Actually, there are some nice shots in there, aren't there?
Yeah,
there are some lovely things.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's really big because he's putting out, what, $15,000 did you say?
Yeah. That.
And at the end of the post, so far, one blogger has liked this post, and that's it. So I reckon you might be in with a good. If this is the only person who's interested in this stuff,
you've got half a chance.
And quite frankly, it could have been themselves.
Yes, or his mum.
You're in with a shot to get something, yeah?
Might have been his mum.
Hey.
So, and the last one from Steve was this giant Soviet spy satellite lens for sale.
Big one.
Is, wow. This lens weighs 158 kilograms, or for our American audience, 348 pounds.
Which is pretty impressive to get that up into space.
Yeah. Did it go into space, did it?
Well, it's a satellite lens.
I thought maybe it was for looking at spy satellites from the ground.
Oh, it's one half of a binocular, you reckon?
Maybe. I don't know. oh, no. Yeah, you're right. A lens sent into space.
Sorry?
You were right. Yeah. You were right.
Let's just save this moment, people.
Yeah, you save because it.
I'm married. I'm not used to
kids. Lens sent those into words, space.
Those words are really just together. It's usually you're not right. Is usually the
into space, was it? In the Soviet Union's Yantar 2K spy satellites, which were used from the mid-70s until the later years of the Cold War. Well, when did the Cold War end?
Oh, it's pretty cold over there. I think it's coming into winter.
I guess it would have been Reagan era, wouldn't it? Mid 80s?
Well, it would have been when the wall came down, which I think was that.
Oh, that was 30 years ago. 30 years just this today. Week. Just
it was
this 30 week.
Years ago today.
Yes, well, a couple of days ago, but yeah, it was recently. This week.
That's right.
It's the 30th anniversary.
That's why I mentioned it.
Ah, nice work.
Oh, yeah.
Nice tie-in, mate. Well done.
Yeah, look at that. No, it's not tie, it's Russian.
I think that's about it.
Is it?
I think we're done.
For good?
Well, for this week.
This is the last episode for the year, is it?
For this week.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. We're done. Christmas is coming.
It is coming.
Christmas is coming. Yeah. So how about we'll get all of our listeners this week to non-participate as they usually do on our Facebook wall and put up some Christmas gift idea for photographers.
Okay.
Put up some products up there you think would be kind of cool stuff. Let's look at some stuff that could be kind of cool things for photographers this Christmas. I'd like to see those things.
Okay.
You've come across that you're lusting after.
There you go, people. Huh? Can be
challenge not accepted.
Can be silly or serious, whichever.
We'll make it silly regardless. So
that's right.
Feel free.
Cool.
Well, that's it. All right, mate. We've done it. We succeeded.
We did.
We've got past another one.
Yep. You have a good week.
Well, I'll have the week I have.
You will.
Going to see all? You two tomorrow night?
I'm seeing them Friday week, tomorrow week.
I'll let you know how bad they are. Yeah. I've lost their voice.
Are you not looking forward to it?
I've seen you two every single time they've come to Australia, and I've never been a fan.
Are you serious?
I don't mind it, yeah. But it's like for some reason, every time they come, people buy me tickets. Oh, Glenn, I've got you two tickets for you. What again? Yeah.
Right. Wow.
I went and saw them on their Under a Blood Red Sky tour back in the early 80s.
Wow.
And they were so bad.
So that was before Unforgettable Fire came out.
Oh, well before that, yeah.
Yeah.
They were so bad, and the audience was so atrocious.
Right.
And the sound was so horrific that the next day at work, one of their sound engineers came in And we had a chat, and he said what he did. And I said, oh, I was there last night. It was crap. He goes, yeah, it was terrible, wasn't it?
Wow.
And I said, he said the sound was dying. We had all these problems, blah, blah, blah. If you've ever, do you own the Under Blood Red Sky album?
Yes.
Okay, so Live at Red Rocks.
Yep.
Imagine watching that show word for word. Instead of saying the word Red Rocks, they said the word Melbourne. Okay, so there's absolutely no originality to the entire show.
Right.
The song's in the same order. The words, interactions with the audience, exactly the same, with the exception of Melbourne.
Right.
Instead of Red Rocks, which really, I hate bands who don't do anything creatively interesting to the audience, just to keep it sane for themselves. So anyway, so the guy said, look, it was terrible. Tell you what, come back tonight. I'll get you some backstage passes. Come back and have a party with the band. We've fixed all the problems. It's going to be great. And I said, nah, that's how bad they were.
Wow.
And so one of my staff members said next to me, she goes, I'll go. So she did. She partied with the band till like 4 a.m.
Wow.
I'm such an idiot sometimes.
Yeah.
So I've seen them every time. And the only time they were really good was when B.B. King supported them.
Okay. So here's the one that got away story. I was working at 2LM in Lismore in the north of New South Wales in the late 80s, and I was offered for the princely sum of $40 Australian not only a ticket to see the Rattle and Hum tour with B.B. King, but the bus ride from Lismore to Brisbane return as well for $40. And because I hadn't really got into the band at that point in time, I said, I'm good. And I kick myself to this day, because that would have just been epic to see. And
they weren't that good.
And then, okay, well, I guess that's open to interpretation. But then early 90s, I was at 2XL in Cooma, and the Zoo TV tour came to Sydney, I had the opportunity to buy a ticket and go and see that, and I went, I won't, because it's $150 now, and it's like three times what I could have had, the previous tour for.
It better be three times as good.
Exactly. And so when it was announced that they were, doing the Joshua Tree tour, I just went, to hell with it. I'm not going to miss it again. So.
It'll be $1,000 next time if you don't.
Yeah. So
the Rattle and Hum, they were okay.
Right.
B.B. King was okay.
Okay.
Best part of the whole show?
Mm?
The pre-concert.
Right.
Okay.
Which was?
The crowd.
Right.
Okay. They were all just singing Beatles songs. The entire 15,000 people in the crowd in unison just singing Beatles songs. Off their own bat. It wasn't being played on the audio PA system. It was just the crowd launched into it for like 20 minutes.
Wow.
Of just nothing but 15,000 people singing Beatles songs.
So
that atmosphere was so damn good.
Right. Was there no, sort of set up music playing on the PA system?
Yep. We drowned right over the top of it.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it was just something I've never seen to like at a concert before.
Yeah.
I mean, the closest and probably the only thing that tops it as a pre-concert entertainment was the 1980 Kiss concert at Waverley Park in Melbourne.
Yeah.
This is a big football ground where 75,000 people disliked the opening act so much that they had a food fight. 75,000 people had a food fight across three levels of a stadium.
Wow.
The air, my friend, was thick that night with banana peels and bottles and cans. And my God, it was fun. This thing went on for like 10 minutes. Literally, the sky was black. Millions of stuff just flying over, and the noise was epic.
Wow.
And then it finally got stopped.
Yeah.
And the crowd's quieting down. And my mate's having a smoke.
Yeah.
And he's finished it, so he throws the smoke at the ground and butts it out in the ground, and security guard grabs him and says, "I'm like, you're getting kicked out for littering, mate." Keep out the show. One cigarette butt
after 75,000 people have thrown food everywhere.
And we laughed because we queued up for 3 days for this concert.
Yeah.
We'd been hanging outside the front of the stadium for 3 days, and he'd been there for 10 minutes beforehand, he gets kicked out.
That's harsh. I remember that tour. That was the Dynasty tour. And
you call it Dynasty, we call it Dynasty, as you'll hear.
Why?
Paul Stanley. That's what Paul Stanley says every time.
Oh, really?
You know, they only say once again, the band only says the same words every time. You know?
Right.
Call it Dynasty, we call it Dynasty, because in America, Dynasty is.
Of course, yeah. I was at boarding school.
Really?
In Sydney at Bellevue Hill. Hey? I was at Scots College in Bellevue Hill.
Is that a Catholic college?
It's Presbyterian, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Press what?
And I reckon in a straight line, like as the crow flies, to the venue where they were playing, which is sort of where the Sydney Football Stadium is now, would be about, I'm going to say 5 or 6 kilometres as the crow flies, and we could hear the drums from school.
Wow, that's good.
Like, there had been rumours in advance that this was going to be epically loud, and then on the night of the concert, we could hear this thump, 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 and we're like, oh, wow, that is Kiss from 6 kilometres away.
Now, I've got a question to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Who decided that the crow was the measurement of choice? Did they observe a range of species of birds to see just how symmetrically and how accurately they flew in a straight line? Out all the bird species going around, crows flew the straightest for the longest.
Maybe.
Didn't waver. Because, your sparrow, that flits every – the little ones, they flit.
Oh,
you know,
exactly. They go,
by nature, they're everywhere. I mean, 6 kilometres by crow, 420 by sparrow.
That's right.
So I just want to know, I'm going to look this up for next week's episode. This is why the crow? If anyone out there has got a scientific explanation, pop it up at the Facebook page.
Excellent.
Yeah. These things are sent to testers.
That's right.
So we don't need this podcast to be about photography. We could challenge the world of myths. We could call it myth conceptions. There you go.
Nice.
I've got a whole new podcast.
There
for
we
you.
Go.
Myth
on that on that note. Have a good week.
You too, guys. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Shutters Inc. Another audiotu.com quality podcast. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.